Welcome to the Country Lineup podcast with me, Sophia Franklin.
And me, Tim Pruddy-Jones, where we talk all things live music with some of the biggest names in country and challenge them to create a dream festival lineup by picking the artists they'd put on our four fictional stages.
In this episode, we've got a country lineup first, our first duo and our first UK country act who've been making huge waves across the world within the genre since they first performed together in 2013.
Initially meeting via Facebook, they've gone on to achieve worldwide fame and be a beacon of light for the British country music scene. It's the Shires.
And just before they're about to release a new album, 10-year plan, and go back out on tour with support from none other than our previous guest, Eric Pasley, we were delighted to challenge them as they then challenged each other to create two incredible country lineups.
The Country Lineup with Sophia Franklin and Tim Pruddy-Jones.
Ben and Chrissy, hey guys.
Hey, this is fun.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
This is exciting.
We are so pleased to have you here. You have got a crazy 2022 coming up. New music, brand new tour. Anyone who listened to the last episode of the Country Lineup with Eric Pasley will know this as he is joining you. We're going to get into all of that. But first of all, how are you feeling about creating your very own country music lineup for a fictional festival? And how are you doing it? Are you doing it together or separately?
Well, I'm very nervous. I know how Chrissy feels, but I'm very nervous because I feel like we get judged so much on your choices.
Yeah, we will.
And I think we're going separately so we can judge each other.
Nice.
Ooh, yes. So much judgment. I love it. How are you feeling, Chrissy?
I'm very excited. I don't know if anybody wants to come to my festival, but this is my ideal festival lineup, so I'm excited.
You hold the cards, and that's the beauty of this, that nobody else's opinions matter. However, you probably will get people chipping in, especially this little rivalry between you both. I'm interested to see how you react to each other's artists, whether it will be supporting or ridicule. So first of all, being our first UK duo, we are super pleased to have you here. Where are you in the world? Are you both in the UK currently?
Yes, we are at home at the moment. I'm in Bedfordshire, Ben's in Hertfordshire, neighbouring shires.
Nice. Having a bit of a break before things start stepping up and you head back out on the road?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, it's all sort of crazy behind the scenes at the moment. There's so much going on. So although we're not necessarily out on the road all the time, there's just every single day waking up to new knowledge and new things to sort of work out and creatively put together. There's just so much going on.
That's exciting though. It's going to be a wicked few months and a big, big summer. And obviously we've got C2C just around the corner as well. So there was a lot of excitement in the air. So the perfect time, I think, to challenge you both to creating a festival lineup. So let's get going. And Tim, over to you with our first festival stage.
Okay, here we go. So the very first stage is the Saloon Session stage. And this stage is very much about new emerging artists, potentially, that you've maybe encountered or seen live or just have heard and are very supportive of. So I guess my question to you is, who would you put on the Saloon Session stage that you think needs that little bit of a step up and to gain more recognition, and why?
How small is this stage? What are we talking? Is it like an actual saloon? Is it like close? Are we close to the act?
It's going to be fairly intimate, but because it's fictional, there's also millions of fictional punters there as well.
Okay, so a really intimate venue with millions of people in it. Okay, I get it. Can I go first, Chrissy? Do you mind?
This is the one act I feel like we might have similar. So I'm intrigued to see what you say.
Okay, well, I've just literally just changed mine, actually, because I was going to say Tennille Towns, who I absolutely love. I love Tennille Towns. I think she's incredible. But I'm actually going to go for the Striking Matches, who have been good friends of ours over the years. And I think they've got a lot of respect, but they still haven't hit it as big as they should be. They're still not talked about, especially in Nashville. I think they're almost bigger over here. And I've written with them. We've supported them, been on stage with them. We used to cover one of their songs quite a lot. But man, just like big, when you're that close, so I was asking how close you are. When I wrote with them, their guitar playing particularly, it's like I've never heard anyone play guitar like that in my life. And especially together, the way they play and their voices as well. They've got this great relationship. Songwriting is incredible. The song they had for the TV show Nashville was just, you know, it just kind of blew me away.
What song was that? I'm trying to...
There was two, weren't there? There was I Ain't Leaving Without Your Love, and then there was...
When the Right One Comes Along.
That's it.
Right One Comes Along is the sort of big ballad moment, yeah.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And they've had a new kind of reinvention. They had a song called Bad recently, which was great. But yeah, that era, I mean, they can do everything. They can just actually do everything. I think they would blow a lot of people away at this intimate million people saloon session.
That is a brilliant choice. I am a fellow obsessive over Striking Matches and a massive inspiration actually as well. But you're right about the guitar playing. It is unbelievable. Both of them just incredible stuff.
Yeah, they make an acoustic guitar sound like an electric. I don't know how they do it. Like Sarah plays slide loads.
I know, it's really annoying.
And Justin, he's an incredible guitarist as well. But together, like, and apparently they play wrong a lot. I remember writing with them and I was saying, oh, what are you doing? Because I don't play the guitar the right way, apparently. But they were like, there is no right way. They just said, right. it sounds great. And, you know, Justin does things wrong, inverted commas, apparently. But it just sounds incredible. They're a huge inspiration.
They're pretty self-deprecating as well, them two, aren't they? Like, Justin behind the scenes is just the quietest. And to be fair, like, he's just... Behind the scenes, he's just so quiet and doesn't say anything. And he gets up on stage and he just like lets it all out. It's like, oh, hi.
That's awesome.
Like an alter ego.
Absolutely.
So, Chrissy, what's your artist for the saloon stage?
So mine is a duo, a male duo, and they are from Australia and they are called C4.
I know the Seaforth guys. Oh, yeah. They're so cool.
Yeah. They are up and coming still at the moment. Like they're Australian, but they're living out in Nashville. And we met them years ago. So we've known of the guys for ages. And they've been writing with some great writers out there in Nashville. And I love their humor that they have, like, online. They just make me laugh all the time. But also their songs are just banging as well. They're such good songs. And their vocals together. I know Mitch, he's got the most incredible and the highest voice. Tim, I think you're on par with that.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of these two. And I feel like they haven't really had their moment, especially in the UK just yet, but they are coming to C2C and they're definitely the ones I would say that people should look out for. Definitely at C2C, but then at my own festival as well.
Get that in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great recommendation for sure. Like for people to check them out at C2C. I know I will be for sure. And that's exciting. I love that.
I think they're on the main arena, you know, on the
spotlight stage, yeah.
That's it. I don't know what it was called at the moment. But yeah, so they're in there. And then I think they're doing an after party as well, which I'm sure we're all just going to go off.
Yes, on the Sunday, because I will be there.
Great.
No, they're cool. And you're right about the humour as well. I think the Australians have kind of a very in-tune humour with us Brits.
Yes.
And they hit differently. I saw them post something on their Instagram today about why they don't sing with Australian accents. And it's just so funny. They're just two guys having a good time. And you know, on stage, I'm so excited to see them because I feel like they're just going to have this energy that you haven't seen in ages that just kind of hits you and makes you grin and just feel like you're having a good time with some mates, which, you know, is all you can ask for, really, especially after the last couple of years. So very good recommendation. Two really good recommendations.
That's a good start.
What a good start. Cracking start.
Who won? Is someone scoring this? Who won? Is it not? It's not a competition, is it?
Oh, we're gonna have a winner for each round.
Just checking.
Do you know what, Ben? I think music is the winner.
That's such a cop-out answer. I think we have to judge it at the end overall. So I think we'll keep the suspense alive.
Okay, cool.
We're going to flip it on its head now and go to the Hall of Fame stage. So this is going from one stage where it's new music, up and coming, trying to get the best of the artists who are trying to make it, and going to the absolute traditional country music greats, the epic names out there. Anything from Loretta Lynn to George Strait and everything in between. And the best thing with this fictional festival is that you have the power to resurrect somebody and bring anyone back from the dead if you wanted to. We haven't quite worked out the logistics if these festivals get commissioned, but it does give you the power to really go back and choose someone that might have influenced you growing up or you just think is an absolute country music legend. So Chrissy, I'm going to go to you first. Who would you put on the Hall of Fame stage?
This was an easy one for me.
Okay.
Because I was raised on country music, so I listened to all the old school stuff. Me and my granny used to play all the records and we would sing them. And most of the time I sort of would sing some songs and I didn't necessarily knew who the artist was. You know, at the time, I had no idea what the record sounded like, but she would sing them with me all the time. So for me, it has to be Patsy Cline.
Oh, nice.
One of the greats. And like I say, I would sing Patsy Cline with my granny all the time. She was my first influence into country music. And even to like her last days, she had dementia, but I would put on Patsy Cline, Crazy. And every time she got in the car and she'd be like, oh, I haven't heard this song in ages. Oh, I love this one. I'd literally played it like on the way to picking her up, you know, and then I was dropping her off. I'd play the same song and she was still, it was like she'd not heard it in ages, but she loved it. So brings back great memories for me. But, I never got the chance to see her live. So if I could bring her back from the dead, Patsy Cline, that would be pretty amazing.
And what a lovely story as well. And
yeah, that is wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. Ben, I don't know if you're going to be able to top that.
Well, I came to country so much later than Chrissy. So I feel kind of my choice. I think this person has moved into that kind of complete legend forever status. I'm going to say Brad Paisley, weirdly enough. And he had a massive influence on us. When his Wheelhouse album was about to come out, about 8 months before that, he did a session for a radio thing at BBC Radio 2, and we were there. It was the night before our first trip ever to Nashville, and he played the whole kind of album that hadn't been released yet, the Wheelhouse album. He played it pretty much all acoustically. I think almost every song they played completely acoustically. And that kind of, seeing him do that, and then a few years later, headline and main stage with all the guitar solos, the massive sound, the band. You know, it's just, I think he's an absolute legend in terms of putting a show on. But then lyrically, when you dig into the lyrics and all the sort of clever songs he's had, the funny song, he's able to sort of walk that line between being funny and also quite self-deprecating as well. But he's just a superstar. An absolute superstar. And you know he'd be bringing people up on stage with him and they'd be doing duets and there'd be a 20-minute guitar solo. And it's just, you know, I think he's an absolute legend. And I know he's still alive. So, and that just takes some of the difficulty out for you. And there's no resurrecting involved. We just get Brad Paisley on the stage, you know. So
it's, I love that little that little dig of, just so as you're aware, mine's easier to get.
There's a definite theme with Ben's choices. They're all like guitar driven, like virtuosic players. Like I see where you're going with this.
It's because I can't do it. I can barely play the chords. And then I'm watching people do all this like flicky stuff. But he doesn't just do that. That's the thing that I love. Like it's very easy to get on stage if you're that good and just go. But he can really hold your attention. So I think it's funny seeing him move into this kind of real legend thing, because when we first started coming out, me and Chrissy, he was very current, and then now he's duoing with Jimmy Allen, and it seems like he's almost passing the torch on to the next generation almost.
Is that a big thing for you, sort of seeing artists and musicians really playing when you go to see someone live, Ben? Like is it that musicianship that makes a performance for you really come alive?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, there's acts. I think there are some acts that are on record sound pretty good, and then you see them live and you're like, oh, I get it now.
Mm.
And you go back and you listen to those records and you're like, oh, they're you know, they didn't necessarily capture it 100% on the album, but when you see them live and it comes alive.
Yeah.
Country's such an odd one though, because an interesting one, because I've seen acts. I was once behind the sound desk, up high, but behind, I won't say where it was, because you probably guess who the artist was.
Say it.
Yeah. And like, you know, there's a lot of track that goes on in country, especially in the big acts, a lot of backing track. And this artist I watched had auto-tune on their voice. I knew it because I could see the dial going round even when they were talking. And there is this, I think the thing about country, what's amazing though, is they still manage to like, that's still okay because there still is musicianship that massively, like, you know, we use backing track on our stuff and we don't use auto-tune, but we use backing tracks. And
just to put that out there.
Yeah. Our philosophy was always, if the backing track falls apart, can we still play this thing? And we can do it. But, you know, when you get to bigger venues, you almost want it because it just grounds everything. If you're playing an arena, having that little bit on track just fills the tracks out. And country, they're the best at doing it. And I don't know if Brad Paisley does. I imagine he does. But still, the musicianship, like you say, watching him play and vibe with the bass player or vibe with the drummer, even if they know they only have, you know, this exact thing they can play to, there's still ways to find your kind of flow in that. And I think watching Brad Paisley, he did that amazingly when I saw him play live.
Love that. Thank you so much. Country Crossroads stage now. So this one is, again, pretty different to the previous two stages, in as much as this can be anyone from any genre of music, but potentially just someone who has still influenced you in some way. And I guess what we're after here is that crossover of maybe different styles of music to what it is that you do. And who would that artist? We've had some great answers for this, by the way. So
we love this stage. I think this is my favourite stage because it throws up anything.
Absolutely. So our question is, who would that be on your country crossroads stage and why?
So I didn't realise that there was a crossover. So it had to be somebody of a different genre. So I've gone for more of somebody that significantly influenced me, like growing up, who is an absolute legend in my eyes, which is Faith Hill.
Okay.
Nice.
Genuinely, I sang every single one of her songs growing up. I did get to see her at C2C a few years ago, and the only one, she was incredible, she was with her husband, Tim McGraw, but there was one song that she did not sing, and that is what I'm living for, to hear There You'll Be live.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Such a tune, and I sang it to death as a kid. I even tried to go on Stars in Your Eyes to be Faith Hill. I had the costume from the music video. I didn't get through. But yeah, I remember it being like my song and I always sang it. But I don't know if she knew how massive that song was in the UK. So she completely...
Yeah, maybe not.
I think she just left it out of her set because she probably doesn't perform it in America because it was like for a movie soundtrack. But it was one song I was just sitting there waiting to hear She didn't perform it. So in my lineup, that would be the last song, you know, the finisher for me to hear that song.
That is such a tune, though. I totally agree about the song. That's incredible.
All the strings, the massive vocal. You know, it's not a, it's not a crossover artist. She is very country. But yeah, that's my influenced version of her.
Go on, Ben. Beat Pearl Harbor.
I was going to say John Mayer, but then Tim's just completely just worked me out and said I'm a guitar guy. So I'm going to change it.
I love John Mayer.
I've sussed you
out. But you know what? Like, growing up in, you know, suburban England, I was a huge fan of Eminem. Eminem. I loved Eminem so much.
Ah.
You know, like, yeah, that whole kind of, you know, West Coast hip hop thing, and like obviously Dr. Dre's Chronic 2001 as well. But that's a bit heavy for me. I feel like Eminem still told a story, and I think it'd be awesome. And he did a lot of that. You look at the Dido song that he made into Stan. Mm. You know, I think we could do that. We could do a whole stage of, you know, me just singing a chorus. Sorry, Chrissy, you and I.
I'm not going solo. It's reached new heights, this. I didn't think that we'd have the Shire splitting up on the Country Line of podcast for the sake of Eminem.
Hey, it's my dream festival. I do what I want, all right? but no, like, just, I love that. Those old hip hop, when hip hop really, they really cross over and they have, you know, the verse and then they have the chorus coming back and with the actual tune. I love that. And I think it's very interesting seeing how hip hop is now coming into country. I know Sam Hunt kind of started it in a way, you could argue, but, you know, even Florida Georgia Line with the sounds of their stuff, you know, it's all moving. And I think someone like Breland now, stuff is really crossing over and pollinating. So, I think Eminem, but anyone, you know, hip hoppy would be awesome.
You must have lived for that Super Bowl halftime show this year.
I was just going to ask the same thing.
Even now, the fact that he's still relevant, you know, the fact that, you know, he took the knee and stuff. I mean, he's Eminem. He's been around for how long? You know, I mean, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Those songs are the soundtrack of my youth.
We were talking about this the other day, and that in my head, I still think of his daughter being like just like a tiny little nipper.
Yes.
She must be in her like 20s or something now, right?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. She is. Yeah. Hayley, she's like, she's 20, I think. Yeah.
Which is crazy when you think of the lyrics and his songs and stuff about his small daughter that he talks about, but she must be legit adult now, you know?
We're so old.
So, Chrissy, with knowing that you had a sprinkling of John Mayer and then Eminem, would you have any comeback to that? Or are you sticking true to form and sticking by Faith Hill?
I mean, I could throw another curveball of somebody else that I was very influenced by growing up.
Go on then.
Go on.
You sort of did have those country influences, but Westlife. I mean, they're well back now. I mean, it's not Eminem and it's not John Mayer, but
I'm here for it.
Did you see their Super Bowl halftime show? Very strong. They flew without wings and everything. It was unbelievable.
Genuinely, I saw them a couple of years ago at the O2 Arena, and I just forgot how many of those songs I absolutely loved. They still did that whole dressed in white and sat on those stools and stood up for the key change. I was like, I'm living for this moment. It was like all of us in that room were like, yes, they've done it. Like, it was such a moment. But
love that.
To be fair, they were singing a lot of country songs, but making them pop. So I was listening to them not knowing these are classic country songs, just loving them. Mm. And so many other kids in the 90s and the early noughties, like we were all, you know, raised on those songs. And I think that's still what's going on in country music now, like those great country ballads of like the 90s and early noughties. I feel like that's still appropriate in country music now, you know.
The one that still blows my mind is I Swear. You know, the sort of one hit wonder version that we probably remember from being kids, but you know, it was, I think the country version was the original, and I think it was even released within about a few months of were they called All For One?
All For One, yeah.
Them releasing it. It was only a couple of months apart, but obviously the R&B version just blew up. And this country version just, the country version is wonderful still.
Massive
but
song.
That blew my mind when I found out that was a country song.
Oh, what a nostalgia that stage is going to throw up. I love it. I absolutely love it. We're going to touch on the final stage soon, but obviously you guys are preparing to go back out on tour. We've spoken to Eric Pasley, as mentioned, in the previous episode 7 of the Country Lineup. He will be supporting you on your tour in April. Tell us about that. How are you feeling? Obviously, now we're talking about live performances, getting out on stage. How are you feeling about yourselves getting back out on stage and live performing again? Because is this the first time you are back touring since COVID?
Kind of. I mean, we had the acoustic tour though, so we did two runs of acoustic dates, and they were meant to be just a few. They were billed to us as like a little, you know, small thing, you know, have fun, and the audience will love it, which they did because we're, you know, quite up close and stuff. But they were actually quite big venues. Like for us, you know, the word intimate, I think, still suggests like 100, 200 people. I mean, we played to like, I think, nearly 1,000 people in Snake Maltings. We were doing lots of small venues, smaller sort of towns and cities, sorry, where people don't normally go as well. So the crowds are really appreciative to have us there. Yeah. But now I feel really match fit, and I think Chrissy does too, because that, with an acoustic show, like, you kind of got nowhere to hide. I'm not saying you do in a live show, but you can lean back auto-tune more on the band and the volume and stuff. Whereas, you know, an acoustic show is just me.
An auto-tune.
But no, it's just me. Yeah, on an acoustic show, it's just me, Chrissy. You know, it's a very small drum setup and another guitarist. And you just can't hide. And it was almost like great prep for us because, you know, vocally you have to be on it. And even like the fact that, you know, the going from the smaller songs to the bigger songs, there's not as much of a jump in sound. So, yeah, I feel mega, mega excited. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Eric Pasley. Like, I wrote with him for this record as well as the song Bar Without You, which is on our new album. And, you know, there was a time when all I listened to was his record. So the thought that he is supporting us. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be literally stood side of stage when he plays She Don't Love You because it's just one of my favourite songs of all time, you know. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited for us.
Soph and I need to feed back to Eric because he didn't know 100% that his song had made it onto the album.
No.
So we told him, we said, we're speaking to the Shires next week, so we'll let you know. He'll be overjoyed.
The only reason we've got you on is to just confirm.
Just to clarify.
That's hilarious. Yeah, writing with him was a masterclass because I wrote with him and Jennifer Wayne. They wrote She Don't Love You, which is a huge number one. And Jennifer had the title, Bar Without You. And then Eric had this incredible way of flipping that title. And his belief is that try and make everything positive if you can. And they changed that whole song for us. And yeah, it's definitely on the record. I'll message him after this. I feel bad.
Yeah, please do.
One of his songs on our record.
And of course, you're also taking Kezia Gill back out on tour with you as well.
Yes, we love Kezia.
Which is brilliant.
She's wicked.
She is amazing. She thoroughly deserved as well. I obviously saw her. I was lucky enough to see her on your acoustic tour as well. So I'm really glad that she's back out there with you on the full band show.
Yeah, she's going to be joining us on the bus as well. So she was over just the other week, and I was explaining to her. We had a little sleepover at mine, and I said to her, I was just talking to her all about like what it is to be, you know, do bus life, because it's very different, you know, when you go out in splitter vans. It's so much more grueling, and you know the days are really, really long because you're traveling the whole country. Whereas with a bus, everybody gets drunk most nights, apart from me. These days, I can't keep up with it all, honestly. I've even bought a hoodie that says that I'm on vocal rest. So when that's on,
wow.
people can talk at me, but I can't talk to them. So I can just text.
That's preparation.
Yeah.
I love that. Great.
And of course, with that comes your new album. Tell us about that, because you've got the new single out now, Icy Stars, which is phenomenal. It's beautiful. And you've got the new album out, marking 10 years. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the fact that this album's going to be out when we celebrate our 10-year anniversary is just crazy to us. I mean, I still remember vividly Chrissy coming around to my flat, I should say, in St. Albans. And, you know, we didn't know each other at all. We just, you know, met on Facebook the night before, and I emailed her some songs.
Tim told me this story just before you guys logged on. And I was like, what? I didn't know that that's how the show started, via Facebook. That is amazing.
Yeah, literally. We were introduced by a mutual friend, and Chrissy came around, and you know, the title of the album is kind of ironic. It's like the fact that we didn't really have a 10-year plan at all, but, you know, it's all gone to plan, I guess.
Nice.
You know, I remember playing these tiny shows. We played The Horn in St. Albans. And the thing is, like, I had been signed years before that as an artist, and it didn't work out. I got dropped when I was 20. And, like, it was so hard for so long when I was a solo artist. And then when me and Chrissy got together, like, you know, everything, even those little shows, like, everyone was so excited to see us. We just had something, and we have something together that, you know, I never had, you know, by myself, I think. So, yeah, this record, though, definitely feels like going back to the early days for some reason. I'm not sure why, but maybe the pandemic, it feels like a big reset for us, and it kind of feels like it's the first album we've released ever again. So I'm mega excited for it.
Oh, well, look, I hate to spoil that by getting you to go against each other again as we go to our last stage, but I'm going to do it anyway. And we will see who has the ultimate lineup as we go to our final stage of the Shires Country lineup with the main stage. So this is the country music great for you both right now. So we have wall-to-wall talent in the country music genre right across the world. It's going from strength to strength, and there is just so many good artists and groups out there where you just think you hear country music radio or playlists or whatever, and sometimes you can't quite believe just how much is going on and the people who are churning out some incredible music right across the board. But for you guys, who would be your ultimate country music headliner right now that beats the rest when they're on stage, both from a performance aspect and also musicality wise? Ben, you go first. Who would be your headliner of your country music festival?
Well, I mean, it's an act that we have supported in the UK and in the US. And like, they were quite an inspiration for us in what we could do in our live set. Like, up to that point, you know, we were good, I thought. We sort of went on, we played our songs, and we chatted a bit. But when I saw this act live show, I was just like, wow. Because they haven't got many bells and whistles when they do it. I'm talking about Little Big Town.
Nice.
I just absolutely loved them. I mean, their harmonies, their, you know, and when we see, every time we've seen them, they've maybe released a new record, and they still, with their live show, they still keep the core. They don't really change. You know, I've seen them play Pontoon, I don't know how many times now, 25, 30 times, and it doesn't change. But they just work that, the new stuff, into the set, and they just keep building and building. They don't reinvent themselves. It's just, you know what you'll get. You go to a Little Big Town show, and you're going to come out feeling really happy, you know. And they're just technically incredible. I remember we played a venue in Northwest US. I can't remember where it was. Boise, Idaho. That's where it was. About 5,000-6,000 people in a sort of ice rink. They covered the floor, don't worry.
And we're just slipping around.
Just bodies.
Yeah. We supported, obviously. And then Little Big Town did their set, and then it came off. And I remember Karen was really like frustrated. And she was kind of like going to the other, she's like, I can't believe that woman in the crowd. Can you believe her? And they were like, basically, someone had said to her from, you know, the front of the audience, they pointed at her and went, you're miming. Because they genuinely, they said it was it was so good, they couldn't believe that she was singing. Yeah. And she said to us, well, I threw in a bit of a bum note just to make her realize I'm not miming, kind of thing. And she's that good. But that was the first tour they started playing Girl Crush. It had just been released. And like, they had this sort of wind vent on Karen. And even though that was very much a Karen song, you still felt like it was all of them together.
Yeah.
Still, you know, they're great at, you're just buying into them. They're true friends. The last time we saw them, they had a kind of montage of them through the years. And it's kind of similar to where we are now, in the sense they've been together. They felt like they were turning this point when they're going, right, we've been together for a long time now. Let's celebrate that. I had this montage from when they first got together. And I don't know. I just think, you know, they're in their early 50s now, which I can't believe. And they still have all this energy on stage. And I think, you know, whoever's played before them, even someone great like Brad Paisley, I would still want to see Little Big Town last. I'm not going to lie. I just come out of their show and I feel on such a high.
I don't think Brad Paisley would mind either.
That's a great choice. That montage video was, they had that at C2C, didn't they? And that was unbelievable footage, you know, bearing in mind how old some of that footage must have been. The fact that they still have that footage, I think, is amazing, you know.
Yeah, it was great.
Chrissy, your main stage headliner?
Well, my main stage headliner is somebody I've been wishing to play the C2C Festival. I watched him play an after show party, and he was absolutely so much fun. He is actually coming back, so I'm very excited. So I've not actually seen him play a headliner show before. he's actually not the headliner, but he's on the main stage. And for me, it's Russell Dickerson.
Oh, nice.
Love him.
So he's like a newbie on the scene. So he's on his second album at the moment, but all of his songs are just so uplifting. And I think that's what you want from a headliner, is an uplifting set. You want to go away and just be like, oh, that was just so good. And I love that he has bought the Britney mic, or the Garth Brooks mic back. I mean, I call it the Britney mic because I was raised on Britney with that microphone, but Garth Brooks also uses it, and you know, to play guitar. His shows just look wild. When I see them, you know, all over social, it just looks like a right hoot, you know, like a really good time. And I just think he's just got so much energy, and the songs I just love. So yeah, he would be my ultimate headliner, even though
that's
he's
great.
Pretty brand new.
I don't know how we're gonna choose between this, Tim, do you? Because
no.
They are two phenomenal lineups. Ben, you have gone with Striking Matches, Brad Paisley, Eminem, and Little Big Town. Chrissy, you've gone with Seaforth, Patsy Cline, Faith Hill / Westlife, and Russell Dickerson. I mean, I would want to be at both. So please don't make them on the same day.
I love that there was no crossover either. At all. Like, you didn't say the same person.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, surprised at that.
That's good.
Okay, Ben, what is your evaluation of Chrissy's lineup?
It's great, yeah. I mean, I love Russell Dickerson. And like you say, Chrissy, the head mic is just, it's an inspiration, definitely. And seeing you after a couple of bottles of Jacob's Creek at the front singing out to Faith Hill, that would just be amazing. So, or Westlife for that matter as well. I think you're a great lineup.
Chrissy, what's your verdict?
I think you've got a really strong lineup there, to be fair. I would go to that festival. If I had the choice, I would be there. Little Big Town, like Ben said, they blew us away so many times. They are so incredible. And I like that lineup. Good choices.
So strong.
Well, listen, Ben and Chrissy, you guys have been amazing. This has been so much fun. Amazing to have a duo on, our first duo, and of course our first UK act, country music act. You're doing wonderful things for UK country music. You've got a brand new album out on the way, 10-year plan. You're back on tour. 2022 for the Shires is going to be big, I feel.
Yeah.
Big and busy.
Thank you so much for coming on the country lineup. We love you both very much, and we cannot wait to see you both back on stage.
Thanks for having us. And a right hoot.
See you soon.
Subscribe to the Country Lineup wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes every 2 weeks. The Country Lineup from Countryline.